welcome to You Are From God, brought to you by the West Mason Church of Christ. My name is Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. We are both evangelists at the West Mason Church of Christ. We're so thankful that you have joined us for another episode of You Are From God. We want to encourage you, any opportunity that you have, if you're in the Mason, Ohio area, to join us for our Bible study and our worship services. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. for Bible study, and then followed immediately after that, we have our morning worship. We also get together at 5 p.m. on Sunday evenings for our worship service in the evening. And every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at our building, we have a midweek Bible study where we're going through Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, studying some of those books of the return of the exiles to the promised land. And so it's a great time. It's been a great start to the study so far. We hope that you can come out. We have classes for all ages during those times, where if you have little ones to young adult children, it's certainly an opportunity to come out and to grow and to be edified in God's Word. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about earning the true riches, what it looks like to truly be wealthy or have riches in a relationship with God. And Scott, I think we want to start by talking about Onesimus and Philemon.
You know, it's interesting in this book of Philemon that Paul writes, and basically the story is that Onesimus was a slave, and he runs away from Philemon. And as he's running away, he runs into Paul in prison, and so Paul converts him. As we all understand, what Paul would be talking about is always talking of God, and so this relationship between Philemon and Onesimus is going to change. And beginning in verse 10 of this book, it says, "I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me." It's interesting, Tyler, that the name Onesimus means useful. But Paul uses this opportunity to say, look, he used to be useless to you. He was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't keeping his end of the bargain, if you will, in the relationship that they have. But now he's become useful. He's become a brother in Christ, not only to Paul, but also to Philemon. And so he was going to be sent back. And the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus has changed. This idea of understanding the changes that occur and how, quite frankly, how difficult that would be, or at least the temptation would be for Philemon to treat Onesimus badly, but to understand that the relationship has changed now. You have to treat him and should want to treat him as a brother. And for us to understand the importance of this relationship and what it truly means for us as our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the opportunity that we have to have a relationship not only with one another, but with God.
Yeah, the name there, like you said, is kind of the poignant thing of the whole story, and just illustrates so much the relationship between these two men that we just get this little snippet of their story. But how often do we think something is useless or useful, and how do we determine those things? One of the young men at West Mason got up and did an invitation not too long ago and talked about the value of a $20 bill. No matter what it's been through, whether it's gone through the washing machine, or it's crumpled up, or you have some damage to it, or whether it's a crisp, nice, new $20 bill, it's got the same value because you understand that value's been assigned to it, that it is worth something because it's been given that value. The same thing is very true for us, and very true for what we are trying to earn in this life. There is so much that happens in our lives, and so much that drives us in this life that's focused on temporary worth. Worth that seems very valuable to us for the time being, but in the end will be useless, of no use at all, or worthless. Here you see the opposite. Philemon now understands, hopefully after this letter from Paul, that this relationship, which he would regard as useless or not of any benefit or a waste of resources, is now becoming this entirely new thing. He now has a brother in Christ that is one of the most valuable things in this life. It kind of reflects, Scott, on this idea that Jesus teaches about in Luke chapter 16. If you're familiar with Luke 15, you know that these are some of the most famous parables that Jesus gives. It's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, of God receiving back, and the rejoicing that happens when the value is recognized and a soul returns to their God. A lost soul comes back to the God who designed and made it. And then in chapter 16, he's going to tell them another parable, this time of a dishonest manager who has a reckoning, and then he goes through and tries to make reparations. He tries to repair some of the damage and the loss that he has incurred on behalf of his master. And so he makes the point, Jesus does, as he's wrapping up this, that this is a reflection of how we handle our spiritual riches in this life. In Luke 16, beginning in verse 10, he continues and sort of explains the parable here. Jesus says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus here is making a profound statement, really. The idea that we have worth, that we are entrusted with things that belong to God, the things of this world that we might think are ours, are really not ours at all. But we have an opportunity to be good stewards of those things. And the promise here that's implied is that if we are faithful and manage these riches, or unrighteous riches, as he calls them, if we manage those well and respect them for what they are, God wants to give us, it calls it what's truly yours. What am I made for? What does God have in store for me? My inheritance that he wants to give me as his child, as an heir of his kingdom. He has so much in store for me, so much good, but I have to decide if I'm going to be faithful in those things, if I'm going to be serving him in a way that's respectful of that responsibility. And again, the way that I live my life now before the true riches come, the way that I handle the unrighteous riches, that's going to reflect on how I'm going to handle the righteous riches. And if I'm not worthy of them, God's going to realize that.
That's the amazing thing, that he even wants to have a relationship with us. So one of the things we've talked about often on this program is the idea of just having a relationship with him. At West Mason, the last couple of years, our themes have really been around that, the idea of being an heir of his, being a child of his. And you just stop and think about that relationship. Too often people view it to be some sort of slave-master relationship where he is just telling us what he wants us to do, and he almost in a hateful, spiteful manner, instead of out of this love that he does have for us and the opportunity that we have to be his child. And as you just said in Luke 16, and then you skip over to Matthew 25, is this idea that he actually wants us to be with him for eternity. He wants us to have his inheritance. Now, we have to make sure that we're living the life. 1 John's very clear about the idea of walking in the light, abiding in him, the relationship that we're going to have with him. But in Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus uses this opportunity to talk about how God is going to separate the sheep and the goats. He's going to separate those that are basically his child, his children, and those that have decided not to be his children. And it's based basically off of how we treat one another, how we live in this life. And so it's interesting as you go through this, the idea that as he begins in verse 34, I'll just read verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he gets into this idea, when I was hungry, you fed me, the servant mentality. And then he goes on and he starts talking to the others on the left that were not doing the things that they should be doing. And then he says in verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And again, this idea that you did not take care, you are not a servant, you didn't live the life. Tyler, it's interesting to me when you look at verse 34 and then 41, the idea that hell was created for Satan and his angels. And we can choose to go there, but what was created for us is the kingdom, was created for us to be with him for eternity. It was prepared for you, prepared for me from the foundation of the world, that God wants us to be with him for eternity. And we have the opportunity, whether or not we're going to abide in him, whether or not we're going to live the life, and to understand that the opportunity that's before us. The difficulty sometimes is for us to truly get our heads wrapped around that, that God wants us to be with him, that he wants us to live this life, and that we need to make sure that we're living this life.
Yeah, and again, that reflection comes from the way that we behave, the actions that we take. You look at the example here, in both instances in Matthew 25, it's how did these people get in these two situations? You have two groups, two audiences going to two places that were both prepared. One is going to the place that they were destined for, and another group is going to a place that was never meant for them, but because God is just, he has to separate himself from these people in eternity. And again, what's the rationale? How did they get there? It's because they weren't living this life. They weren't using the riches. And again, you see this in Onesimus' story with Philemon, and you see it here. A lot of the times, these riches are the relationships that we have. The people that, again, we talked a few weeks ago about taking people for granted and just assuming that they're always going to be there, or I deserve this kind of relationship, whether it's a friendship or a parent and child or spouse relationship. understanding that those are riches that we are blessed with. We are entrusted with these relationships that we have, and we need to be doing all that we can to help people, even when they're strangers, and what Christ will say, even our enemies. These are the things that he's entrusting to us. Earlier in Matthew 25, you get into the parable of the talents. The fact that each and every one of us has absolutely, because we are from God, we have been entrusted with talents, with value, with worth. He has given that worth to us. And he's given us different abilities, some more, some less. But we all have the same precious value of a soul that, again, you saw in Luke 15, where there's all this rejoicing over one sheep that's recovered, one coin that's found, one son that returns. And you see that value here of what we're going to do with that time that we're given, what we're doing with the relationships, what we're doing with this life. The true riches have not yet come. We think that all there is to life sometimes is what we go through on a day-to-day basis. The true riches are yet to be discovered. We get just a taste of it here. We get just a little bit of it, Scott, to understand that there is so much more to life than earning money, eating food, making myself as comfortable and fat as happy as possible, and then going to sleep and doing it all over again the next day while paying taxes and trying not to die. That's not the point of life. There's so much more to actually having a rich, full, valuable life. And it's understanding that I've been given that worth and value. The other side of this coin, Scott, that I think some people will struggle with is not understanding their value, not understanding that they have been entrusted with riches now in the life that they've been given, and that God sees them as immensely valuable. Forget a $20 bill. We are priceless to him, and he is patient because he wants every single one of us to have the opportunity to return to him, because we are precious in his sight, and we are valuable to him, and he loves us. Just thinking about that takes all day to get over, and it's going to take all eternity to get over if we're faithful and we get to be with him forever. The question, again, that we have to leave with is, are we going to be faithful in those things?
Well, I think that's the interesting part for all of us. We have got to understand that, as Psalm 8 talks about, what is man that you even think of us? I mean, it's beyond us to understand that, but that's what grace is. That's what his mercy, his love, that he loves us so much that he was willing to send his son, not just to save us, but to become his child and become his heir. And it's so important that we understand the value that we have. And we would love to help you any way that we possibly can at West Mason. We would love for you to come and join us if you have the opportunity to worship with us. We meet at 6800 Tylersville Road. Very simple to get to from 71 and 75. You can go to our website, westmasonchurchofchrist.org. You'll see all sorts of information on there, other sermons or sermons that we've done, other resources that are out there that we would love to send you. We would come and study with you if you would like that as well. Anything that we can do to help you, we would just love that opportunity. You can also give us a call at 513-398-9607. Anything that we can do for you, we would just love that opportunity.
And I want to say one more thing, too, before we sign off for this episode, Scott. You know, some people might have been listening to this and thought, you know, earning the true riches. So this sounds like I have to earn God's grace or earn his favor. That's not what we are saying at all.
Right.
These actions, this lifestyle that we talk about, the being responsible, being good stewards, it's a response to that grace. It's this idea that we are not earning the true riches in the sense that we deserve them. We are earning them because we are humbly being the servants that we are expected to be of God, and that we are yielding our lives over to him. And that's how we earn the true riches, is by actually submitting ourselves completely. It's the least amount of work in that sense of me trying to earn my own value. Again, it's the value that I've already been given. And again, as Scott said, we encourage you, if there's any questions, you want to get in contact with us or find more information about the church in West Mason, or learn more about our worship times or assemblies or classes, we encourage you to go to westmasonchurchofchrist.org. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to talking with you next week here on You Are From God.